for?
Deadpan.
All the way.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Oh my god. It's a
podcast.
All the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man. Whoa! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Woo! Oh my! Oh, wow! Woo! Ah! Oh my god! Look at that! It's starting to look like a triple.
Deadpan. Double deadpan.
All the way across the sky. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh god. What does this mean?
No idea what it means, buddy. No idea. So hey, welcome to Deadpan number 260. We can start the countdown, really, or I guess the countdown's already begun. On our way to 288. In those final episodes, there will be a palooza for Blade Runner, probably sometime in January, February next year. And I'm not really sure what else. I guess we'll see what comes. I'll clear out my notebook. Well, actually, that's true. There will be advice, Crazy Chick survival advice. Some more Ear Buddies Forever, and we'll take it as it comes. And actually, this is recorded and released at the end of November 2012. So it occurs to me that, and also it's been brought to my attention that Christmas is coming. We've sometimes marked Christmas at Deadpan, sometimes have just basically done a rerun, and I'm not sure what kind of year this is going to be. I am very proud of our Deadpan Easer episode and also our Santa Thing episode. So I'm not sure. Maybe those will just be our Charlie Brown Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas of Deadpan, or maybe we'll add one more to the Deadpan Xmas canon. I don't know. Something for you to think about, too. But in the meantime, for the here and now, why isn't everything in the Batcave covered in bat guano?
Hello, ladies and gents. Look at your fiction. Now back to me. Now back at your fiction. Now back to me. Sadly, your fiction is not Flagship Magazine, but you can still listen or read it in the format of your choice. Look down. Back up. Where are we? We are on a ship, sailing to the infinite destinations that Pirate's Cove magazine can bring you. What's in your hand? Back to me. I have it. It's a needle, meant to subdue a victim, to torture them both physically and mentally, for the enjoyment of Abattoir magazine readers. So pick up the Flying Island Press magazine of your choice, and let fiction take you where you want to go. I've been abducted.
Nerf and Deadpan.
Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon?
Then you'll see that it is not the spoon that bends. It is only yourself.
Hello?
Hey, this is becoming a habit now. I'm calling in the greasy nipples. First of the week. The first one I'm going to read of the week. Retro says, I've had dreams like that before, but not last night. Cough. Desert Pixie says, in my dream / nightmare overnight, Jack called the sci-fi monster that rose up from inside a dormant volcano on an island located about 2 miles of the shoreline of this glorious beachfront home and began terrorizing our seaside city, C. Millen. Sigh. And that was C. Millen. Amy Bowen says, holy crow, it's snowing. Yeah, yeah, big deal, humor me. If you've never watched it fall from your own window before, it's magical. Colon, happy colon. Madamon says, ZP is not a fan of Master Chief. ECP /www.escapismagazine.com/video/views/0.6542Halo 4. DJ Bunny says, that is the most bizarre hairstyle. The Energizer Bunny says, morning, Pan. Hubby has a play date later this afternoon, so after lunch there will be a play-by-play. You lucky, lucky people. Colon, cheerful colon. Yeah. CJ says, modern cartoon voices are grating. They all sound the same and are horrifically annoying. Also, all of the characters are named Whitney and Brittany. Kill me now. Justa Joe says, I rather like this and found it true. Try to think of American exceptions to the rule, ellipsis. You have to go back to the Three Stooges or I Love Lucy to find popular comedians whose character was the failure person. There have been one-shot exceptions along the way, Dumb and Dumber, American version of The Office, but I can't think of a comedian whose whole shtick is the social failure. SB says, what else is on the menu? So far we have turkey and Brussels sprouts. Ditto says, hooray for the froggy, smiley face. And the true actual first of the week, Vanamon says, I love the smell of sulfur in the morning. Guess I had surf on the mind. But you know, Charlie, don't surf.
You ready?
Ready.
Jack Mangan.
Don't make it.
Deadpan.
Deadpan.
Podcast?
Okay.
All right, my bunny ears this time around. No. My ear bunny this time around. No, no. My ear buddy this time around was the Energizer Bunny. And the song that I sent her was the song Time Machine from Joe Satriani's album of the same name that came out 1994-ish. He'd already released 4 full-length albums at the time, so this was actually... It was a double disc. The second disc was kind of a concert live best of. And the first disc was kind of a coda type of album. By coda, I mean not the end, but I mean like Led Zeppelin, the end of their career, released an album called Coda. That was kind of a worst of, you know, all the stuff that didn't make it on their preceding studio albums. And that was what this was. Joe Satriani compiled a bunch of songs that hadn't made it on his studio albums. And I believe, I don't know for a fact, but I believe that the first 2 tracks, one was called All Alone, which is a cover, and then Time Machine, were newly recorded for the Time Machine album. I sent this to Bunny specifically because I know that she's actually submitted a Joe Satriani song in the past as an Ear Buddy selection. I know that her husband, John, is a huge fan of Joe Satriani, and he's an aspiring guitar player in his own right. And this song is somewhat obscure because it's not on a major album release. It's on, like I said, it's on a worst of type of thing. So I was hoping that neither she nor John had heard it before and that they might like it. You know, all of us being Joe Satriani fans. Now, if you're not familiar, Joe Satriani, occasionally there are vocals, but it's primarily instrumental tunes. And he's a virtuoso guitarist, but it's not just kind of wanking. It's very, very melodic. He's got a great melodic and songwriting touch. And just as far as guitar players go, I think he's unrivaled. Very soulful and very very evocative in his note selection and the way he plays the notes. He's got a really distinctive and just a beautiful, beautiful voice on the guitar. And the song Time Machine, I recall it kind of hit at a point in my life where I was kind of consciously aware of things evolving. It was one of those interesting phases. I was, I'd gone from kind of being a teenage kind of loner to kind of having a pretty good run with the opposite sex. That's the first time I'd ever had anything like that. I was about 19 or 20 or so. And, you know, I was in a great contemporary lit English 201 class, and the professor, you know, is a very big audiophile in addition, of course, to giving us stuff to read. And so one of our assignments was to bring in a song or two that really meant a lot to us. And so I brought in a couple, and this song actually was one of those. And again, I really associate this with that time. And I think my girlfriend at the time summed up one of the strongest traits about the song, what makes it so powerful for me. You know, I felt like it had an epic and powerful feel to it, but I recall that one of the old ladies in my English class kind of didn't like it. I played a sample during the song. We each got a few minutes, and I played a sample, and she's like, I don't really like this. And, you know, I told my girlfriend at the time, and she said, well, you know, this song is really alive, and, you know, sometimes some of these people are not really, they're not really alive. They can't really handle something that kind of stirs them in this way. I thought that was a pretty apt description. The song is very alive, and it's very inspiring, and, you know, as a guitar player and songwriter, it was always one that meant a lot to me. But, of course, even aside from all that, and now, you know, in the early part of the 2000s, you know, it definitely brings me back to that age and that time. And there you have it, Time Machine by Joe Satriani. I have the file from the Energizer Bunny, but I have not yet listened to her reaction. So maybe she'll say it's a big piece of shit, but, you know, hopefully she liked it.
Hey, Deadpan, this is the Energizer Bunny. I am responding to my EBF, Jack, who gave me the song Time Machine from the album of the same name by Joe Satriani. This song was actually kind of a gimme, because it's known that I like Joe Satriani. Did we have this song? No, I actually pointed it out to John, asked him if we had the album, and he said, no, we don't. And that was a very short-lived thing, because then he went onto iTunes and bought the album, which I actually haven't put onto my playlist yet, so I'm going to have to get a copy of it from him. I don't know what to say. Like I said, it's known that I like Joe Satriani, so of course I would expect to like this piece, and I did. I like his guitar work, but then I am married to a very good guitarist who actually, when he shaves his head, looks a lot like Joe Satriani. There's a picture that I've shown to a number of Deadpanites where John was basically imitating a photo of Joe Satriani, and it was a pretty close likeness. So, yes, I very much like this song. Thank you, Jack, because we didn't have the album, so now we do. And that's about it. Thank you. Bye.
Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter.
Motherfucker!
Smooth like butter.
Three is a big thing.
Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter.
Deadpan.
Smooth like butter.
Motherfucker!
Smooth like butter.
We are
Deadpan.
Motherfucker!
Hey, Deadpan. This is the Energizer Bunny. My ear buddy forever partner this time was Mr. Jack Mangan himself. I gave Jack the piece Like a Hobo from Charlie Winston from the album of the same name. This song was introduced to me by my boo. Most of her friends call her a hobo for long and convoluted reasons I'm not going to get into. So they gave her this album one year as a gift. And she showed it to me, played it for me rather. And I quite enjoyed it. So now I own the album and the follow-up album of his, which is called something. Anyways, Running Still. Hobo was his second album, but I was unable to get the first album. Charlie Winston is from Britain, but he lives in Paris, and that's where these albums were released. Why do I like his songs? You know, I really can't pinpoint it. It's just, it's a nice, easy piece. It's acoustic guitar in this particular piece, and I like the sound of it. And I just like the song, and I hope Jack does too. Later.
So the Ear Bunny's Ear Buddy song that I received from the Energizer Bunny was Like a Hobo by a guy named Charlie Winston, who, if Wikipedia is to be trusted, is an Englishman who's popular in France, and yet his songs have kind of an Americana, Southwestern without being country kind of a feel. Kind of like, you know, the song actually reminds me a lot of Fastball's The Way. You know, you remember that song from the 90s? It was all over the radio. It sounds like a combination between The Way by Fastball and, well, especially his voice reminds me of Alejandro Escovedo, who had a kind of an indie hit a year or two ago with his cover of Gun Club's Sex Beat. And you know, kind of like that Fastball tune. This is kind of, it's very, very catchy, very poppy, very user-friendly. I think, you know, there's not a person in the world that would listen to this and kind of be turned off by it. And, you know, this is the first I've ever heard of Charlie Winston, and I wouldn't say that it's kind of made me into a huge fan or that I'd rush out and buy tickets to see him on tour. But it is a nice song, and it has some really nice moments. Kind of the climactic moments or the refrain moments are pretty strong. And, you know, I liked it. I would certainly be open to hearing more of Charlie Winston. I haven't explored, but I do like it. As I said, I think, again, with the Fastball comparison, this is kind of, it has a bit of a 90s feel to me. It doesn't really feel like contemporary pop music, but that's not a bad thing. I think 90s pop music is probably a little bit better. But I'm very grateful to the Energizer Bunny, and apparently her boo introduced her to Charlie Winston. I'm grateful to them both for introducing me. And for you out there, I would definitely recommend that you check it out. I can pretty much guarantee you won't hate it, and you might even like it a lot.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. He says deadpan is the way. I do not understand the purpose of this statement. My deadpan was pre-installed. Please input clarification.
Crazy Chick Survival Guide. This segment is not about actual, true mental illness. This is about the drama-spawning crazy chick who should know better. Take it as advice from a guy who's hung up his I'm with crazy t-shirt. Now, this stuff is not directed at any one person, friend or foe or ex. So if you're still listening, you got wind of this somehow, no, this is not about you. We're fine. Not about you either. No, we're fine. Not about her. No, not about her. You, yeah, well, yes, you've definitely contributed some shit to this. But, no, this is not about one person. All right, let's get started with the first dash. Crazy is as crazy does. If a chick is crazy when you meet her, then accept that this is who she is. All the time. All crazy, all the time. This isn't just a phase. She's not just going through a rough time right now. Trust me, a crazy chick is always, always, always going through a rough time. And a rocky childhood or past is also no excuse to treat anyone else badly. Are you dating a direct victim of the Holocaust? A, she might be a little old for you. And B, even in the face of the true horrors that were inflicted upon her, she still needs to be civil to you. And okay, you know, if she's not because she's so damaged by the trauma that she suffered, okay, fair enough. You can be there for her, you can support her, you can help her. You can do the right thing. But you know what? You don't need to be her boyfriend. Now, where were we? Now, sure, everyone has their quirks, and everyone is allowed to get a little weird under times of duress. Bad days are part of life, and eccentricity can be fun. But, you know, a sane chick will still have a threshold of acceptable kooky behavior. If a chick oversteps the borders into unacceptable behavior, think really, really hard before you overlook or create justifications for any such transgressions. The next dash. There is no such thing as nice crazy. The same pretty much almost always applies to Nice But Stupid as well. Gracie Allen gets double middle fingers for instilling our culture with the positive image of the sweet, charming, loony, airhead wife. The Burns and Allen show skips showing the episodes of her locking herself in the closet for hours, raving and throwing punches and screaming curses at George and anyone else who tried to calm her down. Nice Crazy, like Nice But Stupid, will always, always eventually mutate into pure mean crazy. Mean as in actively malicious, malevolent actions with no tangible benefits for anyone. Don't run up to kick the football if she's holding it. Bonus dash. Crazy chicks are better in bed? No, not always true. This depends on their degree of experience and their willingness to please you. Crazy chicks have usually fed thousands of penises to their need for drama and attention. So yes, sure, they tend to be more uninhibited and experienced. But a crazy chick's concern for your sexual enjoyment will greatly vary. Not at the beginning, of course. At first, they're all about making you think they're the hottest thing on the planet. Give them time, though. A crazy drama chick ultimately only cares for one person, and it ain't you. All right, more Crazy Chick Survival Guide next time. And you know what? If you have any advice along these lines, then feel free to contribute. If you're offended, or if you suspect that I'm talking shit about you, well, then just send me a message. I'm really, really probably not.
Who is it?
Pizza delivery.
Come in.
Hello. Did someone here order a large sausage pizza?
That was me. But I'm more interested in the sausage than the pizza.
Well, baby, let's get it on then.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm. Oh, yeah, like that.
Ooh, the sausage is good.
You're not so bad yourself.
Ooh, baby. Mmm. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
He's bringing sexy back.
All right, I have another question. Since, we had a question about the Batcave earlier. Do you think the dudes in Plato's cave allegory would be the best ever at making shadow puppets? I mean, you know, you've never seen a shadow bird until you've seen one from these guys.
Nobody loves you, but don't feel special. Nobody is a dirty, dirty whore. This is Marlo Diane, and you are listening to The Deadpan.
All right, go ahead and send us in some comment to the voicemail line at 480-788-JMDP. Or that's 480-788-5637. Or send Jack an email at sphericaljackm@gmail.com.
Thank you.
my God. Oh! Oh, God. It's so bright. Oh, my God. It's so bright and vivid. Oh! 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 It's so beautiful. Ha ha ha!